See, now this is Channel One over in continuation of the visit with Miss Daisy, with Nick here, and then Mark comes in this Thursday morning, the 28th of October, 71.
Went round there, and the wash pot was gone. I could have cried. But I think anybody, I don't know who it was, had a little to do to take my wash pot. But it was big. I was telling a man about it, about somebody stole my wash pot. He said, "David, it was somebody that's been around here and knows about your things. And they just come and got your wash pot." So, but they ain't gonna take it. He said they didn't get it for them. So they gonna sell it. They didn't even think about seeing hit anymore. He said they gonna get good money for that wash pot. Of course, it's antique. And that stuff sells for money. I said, "Well, I can't help it, but I hate it. I wouldn't took nothing with my wash pot. I wouldn't even want it no money for it. I'd rather have my pot and have money."
That's the first time you've been out without a wash pot.
Since I've been big enough to wash. My mother always had a wash pot. Nobody never steal her. When we left home, she'd give it away. She'd give it to her friend. Folks wasn't so roguish then. Folks didn't steal everything they see. But they'll steal anything now. And you won't know who stole it.
It used to be you could pretty well tell who took it if you were missing anything, couldn't you?
Uh-huh. I guess I better get to my house.
She don't even have a hole.
And you've lived with a hole all your life.
You tell them a few things, Miss Daisy. You can go home in a minute. You tell them. They don't understand any of these things.
So they don't understand all these things?
No.
What? Not having nothing to work with?
Hadn't got a thing to work with.
Well, you see.
She lived with a hole all her life.
You see, he don't know nothing about that. When he get ready to work, he got anything he want to work with.
You tell him.
Well, I have had things to work with, but they done broke them all up and throw them away, and I ain't got nothing. Ain't got nothing to use and ain't got nothing to buy nothing with. So I borrowed once in a while.
See, Miss Daisy, she can live with a hole. She practically make a living with a hole.
Sure, part of it.
And
so you used
fast.
To have to have a hole. Well, where I was raised at, they raised cotton, and you had to hoe it.
Yeah.
Now and then, you would hoe corn, but you had to hoe cotton once or twice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chop cotton.
Then we had gardens and things. We had to have hoes. Well, you could get hoes was just plentiful then, they were cheap. But they high. Now, I asked the man the other day about a hoe. He said, "Daisy, I reckon I could get you one." I said, "Well, now, if you get it, what is it going to cost?" And he said, "I don't know exactly. It'll cost you around $5 or $5.50. I said, "One hoe? You used to could get them for $1. If you was going to put a handle in it, you could get the hole for 50 cents. But that's what he said. So if I get him, I guess I'll have to pay him. Put
it. Ain't that awful?
It's terrible.
That's the plan for you. You wouldn't even pick up a stick to kill a snake. You just reach for the hole.
Uh-huh. But if you reach for one now, if you bought it, you paid for it.
You don't need one of them new holes, great big thick holes. You want one of them little cotton chopping holes.
That's what I want.
Well, you can't get one.
A little hole.
Yes.
Well, he said he was going to see. Could he find one?
Yes.
So, if he find it, if he ain't going up on it, I guess I'll take it. Well, if it's more than $5.50, I ain't going to get it. I just barter right on.
I just barter right on, Mr.
What? On. When I can't.
Maybe you'll borrow one and they'll forget to come back and get it.
No. They ain't going to forget to come back and get it.
Well, now let me tell you. You can't leave that hole under your house like you used to.
Just not borrow it. When I get to working with him today, I carry it in the house.
But you ain't got any place in the house for it.
Well, I've got to make one, because I can't leave it out there.
It's the same thing about that wash pot.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't make no place for a wash pot in there.
You'll have to.
Roll it up the steps, put it on the inside.
You're going to have to make a place for the wash pot, Miss Daisy.
Maybe I'm going to get that wash pot. I don't think I'm going to get a wash pot.
She got one with a crack in it. Can you weld it or solder it or something?
Depends on what it's made out of. It's made out of iron. It can be welded. If it's tin, it'd be awful hard.
Oh, no.
If it'd be
an
iron pot.
Iron, then you can weld it.
Wash pot. He says you can weld it. He can take it on down there with him and weld it for you.
Down what?
Well, he got the weekend.
he gonna cat on the weekend.
Better take it along with him.
Well, he will. I'll go clean it off.
Well,
you ride
down the lane with him and show him where it is.
What? Down where the pot?
Yeah.
I'll go and clean the pot out. Whilst he getting ready, and when he come along,
he done ready.
Pick it up. He ready?
He's past ready.
He didn't say so.
Well, don't.
Well, he ain't been out here in a long time, is he?
No, hasn't been out there in a good while.
Yeah.
How'd you get your animal up
in the truck?
He rode fine?
Yeah, rode real well. Yeah, as far as the station, the agriculture inspection station.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Well, they wanted the VE certificate. So, I had to talk him into letting me go. And I finally did.
He's actually stand up there all that time?
Yeah. Just waited right along.
In the truck?
Mm-hmm. 3 hours.
Stood up there in that truck for 3 hours?
Yeah. It rained in about Atlanta. He got all wet. They stayed right on.
He didn't mind that. Now, where you got him now?
He's in a pasture. He's got a 100-acre pasture all of his own.
Yeah.
No playmates?
Board fence. No barbed wire, all board fence. All alone. Got a stall and everything. Barn, work. $20 a month. Pasture, the guy's got all good pasture. He keeps it up. Keeps it planted. I'm going to try to get him put in rye for the winter.
Yeah.
And I've got to go home.
Miss Daisy's got to go.
I got to go, too.
You can take her down the lane.
Yeah, okay.
And pick up that wash pot.
No, I can't do that.
Well, it's nice.
Is that her bread?
That's her bread.
Okay. That's your bread, Miss Daisy.
Well, nice, isn't it?
Come in, sir.
Sound like someone I know.
Yes, sir. How do you do?
How do you, ma'am?
Looks like to me somebody I've seen before.
Just want to tell you I'm going to be out there working on that fence, okay?
Well,
I reckon there's some work for me to do. Well, I would say...
I'll go out there with you. Sit down.
He cut your hair, didn't he?
He sure did.
Mr. Weaver did a good job on that. You got what used to be called a flat top back in the late 50s. They used to cut your hair until it's real flat on top. Not a hill there.
Nice.
It looks good.
And not much on the side.
Yeah.
Well, he just like a sand clip.
What do you think got into him? Because he never done this before. He leaves me a little hair on my head. I think he had rattled with those, you see, his electric shears wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I think he sort of rattled.
I thought he took it pretty calmly myself. Since I believe he said that he was repairing them for someone. And apparently he just didn't get them all the way repaired. But he took that rather calmly, the fact that they were still making them. Loud sound.
That's right. He'd put his hand on there and try to hold it down.
Didn't work too well. He was very interesting for a little while I was with him.
A little while?
Yeah, I was with him only a little while. Only about an hour.
Now,
with all that he had to say, I could stay with him a little more.
Let me tell you, Mike. I jumped you that first day, you see, when Marion had started out on you see, those adventures of that. But I didn't mean for it to be permanent, you see. And you see, the reason I have these people here is so you and Suzanne, the rest of you, see, I hold them while you hoop them.
Yeah.
Do anything you want to do in here.
Well, I tell you, I've...
You can learn a lot.
You can stop them and ask them and change the subject, just whatever you want to do. I just told you that one time.
Yeah.
He knows.
Well, I'm not familiar with, you know, how you go about relating to the people around here.
Well, there's nothing to be familiar with. And don't make a mystery of it. I go along with them because I'm more interested in them than I am myself.
Yeah.
But you see, the things you want to know that they're not talking about. You gotta put your word in. That's all I know about it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess so, but you know, I've been used to from staying at home very long through undergrad school. His mother and dad are dragging me into a living room where they had their guests, you know.
Yeah.
And so I often associate almost any circumstance where people are much older than I am. When they have friends coming over, I kind of associate it with the times when Mother and Dad used to drag me down to hear Tom Stroop and the rest of the English department back in Lexington, Kentucky, and in Knoxville, Tennessee talk. And I couldn't take that. And so I guess, you know, usually in circumstances like that, I guess I tend to do as I did then, namely just kind of shut my mouth,
and
listen.
Way, huh?
Listen in a sense which really isn't listening.
Well, you see, you knew that when you first came out here. I'm not adjusted to the learned people up there.
Yeah.
I adjust to the countryside.
Yeah.
So that's not the world of your daddy. That's not your daddy's world.
Right. Well, it's
not
here. It's not the living room.
No, it's not the living room.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And it's not polite conversation.
Yeah.
You know, just making conversation. It's really
No,
hard.
It's not just conversation.
Yeah.
No, sir. Because everything he said, and after you left, he said, that fellow knows a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't learn nothing from him.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And every time they come, if the conversation lets up, I pick it up and tell them something I've done.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's give and take. I don't listen. I don't just
That's
listen all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
He knows a lot, but in return, you see, you can...
He wants to learn.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you can go over
there. He was on Plains Prairie, taming horses, taming ponies. I'd certainly like to learn about that.
Oh, everything.
But I there is this difficulty. I don't know whether I can get over it or not. Of when I am with older people, I'm just not comfortable. I don't know what that is. For example, I picked up a guy just on the other side of Gainesville and drove him to Payne's Prairie, and he was in high school, and I learned an awful lot from him about Payne's Prairie because he goes hiking on Payne's Prairie, and catches rattlesnakes, and has shot a cougar over there. A cougar that has maimed some horses, his own horses, and he shot a bear that was already injured by being hit by a truck. And I enjoyed it. I felt really at ease with him. He was a high school student. But some reason or other, I just have not yet reached the point where I can be comfortable when I'm with people that are, you know, much older than I am. And I guess it's because I've been associated, been limited, been restricted to my parents and their small circle of academic people, and have been told that these are your friends, and then your friends in the same sense that they're our friend. This is mother, dad speaking, and yet I couldn't relate to these people at all, and yet I was forced to. So I still got that. I got to realize the differences.
Well, now you see, so you don't actually know anything about them.
Certainly, I got really closed my ears when I was brought down, you know, by the hand of the living room, just put up for an hour or two to Tom Stroop and whoever else was in a living room from the English department. I couldn't take it.
So you just closed your ears?
Yeah, I'd want to jump in and ask a question often of something very personal about them, like you go to church, you know, that that was on my mind.
You're a little boy, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but you know, this was not something I could do. This was not something I could do, and I just so I associate. I'm just not comfortable. I haven't gotten to that position yet. The people my age and younger, I feel tremendously comfortable with. The people that are much older.
Well,
yeah.
You see, sure, if you can shift it a little bit,
yeah,
you can still do it. And look at them and see what they're interested in.
Yeah.
As a sort of inquiry.
Yeah.
I don't know what they talk about. I don't have access to it. Because, you see, I'm my world's pretty full. I don't have time. And you see, I can't go out at night. My eyes get me, you know, at night. And that's when they generally hold forth. I'd like to know what sort of world they live in.
Yeah.
I'd like to know. And you see, you could actually look back at some of the things that took place and just hold forth on that world they live in as you have been able to see it.
Yeah.
And it's... You see, they are influential people. They've got more influence than anybody else. All along the line. All of them learn it and everything.
Yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. I could learn an awful lot. I could, in fact, I told you about my older brother. I learned more from my oldest brother, who's a small town kind of country doctor than I do from my other brother. He's a professor of chemistry, and I know I learn a lot more from Cookie than I would from most people I meet in town. Uh-huh. And Mr. Weaver, I learned an awful lot more about life, about myself, by listening to him talk about his experiences. But it's still a... When I'm with someone like you, and in their presence, now if I was alone, I'd feel much more comfortable with Mr. Weaver.
By yourself.
Right.
Suzanne is the same way.
But when I'm with someone who has perfected a way of dealing with people, of understanding them, I don't know what you perfect. I'm not. I use languages in the time.
We just tried, you know. That's all I've done.
I feel like somehow, you know, I'm still a pupil, and someone's telling me how to behave, and I just had so much of that that,
yes.
You know, I gotta be free of that. But you know, when I'm on my own, then I'll say, when I got, I'll do this way, and I'll do just what you're doing.
Yeah.
But sure as hell, that's on my own, and not in your eyes.
Yeah.
I often find myself, you know, really, but I don't know if you can understand it. But when you're here, I can't force myself to ease up and relate to people as I would alone. I just can't do it.
Well, now, Suzanne does better by herself. And she gets things from Mr. Weaver and Ms. Guthrie and Ms. all these other people. She gets things that I could never see. And she comes over here and reports on it. Now, she can do that, you see.
Yeah.
She can talk to them by herself and then come over here and talk about it. And she reports. Oh, she reports. I mean, she's done it for 2 or 3 years, you see.
Yeah.
And she's learned that little. She's learned how to keep going.
Yeah.
You see, and present it.
But she told me, she came back from a visit with Mr. Weaver about a week ago and was out here talking with me. She seemed so excited and so at ease. And she'd apparently been on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really struck by the fact that she was, you know, so easygoing. She wasn't uptight about it, as though she had some teacher dragging her along.
Sure.
But, you know, I feel the same way. If Mother and Dad were to come over here on a weekend, and I was to come with them, you wouldn't hear anything from me while they're here. I wouldn't be able to relate to you. I wouldn't be able to speak to you. I wouldn't, as I earnestly feel, I wouldn't be able to express my feelings and my beliefs. I don't know how you can understand it, but if Mother and Dad were here, I would just shut up, and I wouldn't be what you see me as now.
Well, I do almost the same thing. A lot of people, not your mother and dad, but a lot of people come out here, and all I can do is just shut up, because they're going to quip, and they're going to talk about idiotic thing, and they're not open to any suggestion. I have no control whatsoever, so I just have to sort of shut up. I don't know what that's.
I think that's the same.
I just laugh when they're gone. But you see, let me tell you, this is one place right here where most of the people who come will talk. Right here.
Yeah, I've been struck.
Yes, sir. And you just, you don't get actual information, you see. You don't ask questions. Don't yield you much return. You just get into it, you see, and see where it goes. Miss Daisy's up here this morning, and she lost a wash pot. Somebody had stole it, you know. Well, that keeps her going. The situation is better than a question, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that fence you've got up there already has kept them in.
Well, what I need to do is tighten up the bottom strand and then put on a third strand and then raise up the one that's on the top just a few more inches.
I wouldn't bother. Just leave it where it is.
Well, look uneven then.
Don't worry about that.
Well, I'll tell you, that fence is not going to look pretty unless some things are done to it. And one thing is, I don't know how to do it. But, you know, there are some posts that Pappy has rubbed up against, and just like that.
They ought to be straightened.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to straighten those things up as much as I can.
Just open it up, you know. With
on one side,
digger.
Yeah.
Now, you can do that now with that old wire out of the way.
Yeah, it's not on the ground anymore.
But put your tin down there to put your dirt on, it makes it so much easier.
Well, that, tell you, a little thing like that really helps it. I'm surprised. Little techniques like...
That's what Mr. Weaver can tell you, too.
Yeah, a little thing like that, it makes all the difference in the world to easing your work.
Yeah. I'll tell you how I told you this once, but now this is what I find. If you want to learn from Mr. Weaver, don't ask him questions. Bring up a case. Like the one I told you about, Miss Bessie's got this street light. She's afraid of people molesting her.
Yeah.
I went down there at bedtime. I rattled on the front door. Remember that?
Yeah.
I rattled on the back door. Rattled on the
she
side.
Didn't hear you. Yeah.
And I went over to Mr. Weaver's brother runs that store over there.
Huh?
Buck Weaver. And that's what I said, Mr. Weaver. These people got all these street lights around the countryside. As if that's going to protect them. That's all I had to say. You know what he said? Why don't you get guineas?
Yeah.
And he'll take it from there.
That's right.
And you'll see his world, you see.
Yeah.
The thing of it is, just try your best not to scotch him. Go with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to change the subject, you know, you can. But the subject doesn't matter, is what I learned from Emerson. Let the subject be what it may.
It has to be part of his world, kind of, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's something that you can relate to.
That's right. It has to be his experience.
Yeah.
That's right. His world. His world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Flannery O'Connor does it an injustice, you see, when she calls it good country people, and she has them relating to a displaced person from Poland. You see, they can't handle that.
Yeah.
So she makes an awful piece against the country people, you see, through that.
Wow.
Awful piece.
I see. Well, you have to have just a minimal, I guess, sense to be able to pick something out of their world that they can then talk about. Something that they have experienced. They have some ideas about, some feelings about.
Yeah, if you can open it up, hey, Mr. Weaver, I got that barbed wire. It was 3 or 4 inches off the ground when I put it down there.
Yeah.
And I come to find out it was buried to 3 inches.
Yeah, well, he's worked by wire, so now you got him.
Yeah, and he that's all you got to do, and just go along with him.
Yeah.
And it never occurs to me that Mr. Weaver is 16 or 65 or 116.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, you know, when you can cross
either,
that barrier, then you see, just like I said, Nick paid me the great compliment of it, of treating me as if I was his age.
Yeah, well, that's.
I galloped all over the country with him.
Yeah.
You see, I played music for him, you know, and we did all these things together. He never lifted a fence for me or opened a gate for me because I was his age.
Right.
It was no different.
But I wonder if his mother and dad were here. I wonder if he'd feel like I did.
They might say you didn't.
Right, it'd be different. Okay, well, I'll get to work.
I'll help you. Hit you up, help me, girl.
Well, I
can
do it. Okay, go ahead. Unless you have something special about it. No, I'm writing a letter.
Okay.
I'll see y'all. That's the end of the visit with Mark. There's channel 1 over, around 300 or 400. And that's the end of the visit with Mark. He came in a good while after the others left, after lunch. We just had a little bite of lunch, and Faye was going on town early, and he came in, and I just turned on this same tape, Miss Daisy's tape.